So we are in a sermon series in 1 Corinthians. So you can go to 1 Corinthians 12. And I can see most of us has heard the introduction before, so I think we just skip that. If you would like the sermon notes, you can scan the code. They are in English and in Ukrainian, so you can follow along if you would like to do that. Yes, so we'll just skip the introduction and go to the passage. Paul ended last time that he was going to give some more instruction, and so now when he comes to them, but there's something he wants to encourage them about before he comes, and this is where we are starting today. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says that Jesus is accursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For no one is given For to one is giving through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another very kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who appoints to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
As we approach, I just have to find the notes. As Paul's going to address this issue, as Paul has done throughout the whole letter, Paul is trying to unify them and encourage them towards Christ. And he'll do the same again with him talking about the spiritual gifts. Now, as I had the first commentary slide here, the guy was saying, ability does not equal maturity. Possessing a spiritual gift does not mean that one is spiritually mature. Paul opens the letter by thanking God that the Corinthians are not lacking any gift, then proceeds to correct them on the issue after issue for acting immaturity. So Paul has already acknowledged that they have all the gifts in Corinth. They have all these gifts, manifold expressions, but they're not really always using them in the right way because they're not all mature. So as we've gone through the whole letter, Paul has had to correct them on creating fractions, on thinking you're better than others, on sexual immorality, on pursuing the world's wisdom, and not looking out for the weaker brother. And so, yeah, I think it's a good point that having a spiritual gift doesn't mean that you necessarily are mature to actually know how to use it. That is something that is also learned. Paul goes on, and in the beginning he kind of contrasts what some of them, he kind of says, here it sounds like all of them were pagans, but there are also some of them highly likely who has Jewish background, but he addresses them all as like, when you are led astray by mute idols, and all those fake gods, they couldn't speak. But now you worship a God who actually reveals himself, who actually speaks, who actually leads you and guides you. And so he is maybe even encouraging the believers that he's encouraging the believers to like, okay, what does it look like when the Holy Spirit is working? What does that look like? I kind of skipped my introduction. But the introduction, the main points of this passage is that the spiritual gifts are for the common good. Everyone who's in Christ has one or more gifts. You don't get to pick them because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives them. The gifts are not the most important thing. It is how they are used. Paul will also get back to that as he has to correct some things. The gifts are not for our glory, but they're for the glory of God and for the good of others. They're there for the common good, to build up the body and to give glory to Jesus, to the praise of the Father, and they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Paul is also in as he's correcting what they came out of, he's also going to say like, well, when people speak in your fellowship, if somebody says that Jesus is accursed, well, that person does not have the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't speak like that. The Spirit doesn't say that Jesus is a curse. So there's limitations of what someone who is a believer can say and then be speaking in the Holy Spirit. Then he says, on the other hand, he also says, well, truly speaking by the Spirit, no one can actually say that Jesus is their Lord except if the Holy Spirit has opened their eyes. So he shows there's a difference in what they were worshiping before, but even in the community, there's a difference of what people can say and then it being from God. He will also maybe talk to this about when there's a gift about discerning. This is one of the things that needs to be discerned. When somebody claims to say that they are speaking or encouraging on the behalf of God, like even his own letter, Paul can't be writing that Jesus is accursed. Why? Well, then he wouldn't be speaking the truth about who Jesus is. So that's how he's encouraging them in the beginning. Paul then will go ahead and list a bunch of gifts. Most people will agree that this is not a total list because there's other lists, and even the other lists are maybe not complete. So what Paul is saying is that when you become a believer, then God gives varied gifts. But it's all from the Holy Spirit. So there's expressions of how something got, the Holy Spirit gives you something, an expression of how to encourage the believers. And that looks can look very different, but they're all from the Holy Spirit. Then he continues and says, well, there are a lot of different ways you can serve, but you're supposed to serve the same Lord, Jesus. And there's also different kind of activities of how you can serve. But it's the same God that empowers them all and everyone. This is a really beautiful passage, and I think it's very interesting to see how when Paul does this, he includes the Spirit, Jesus, and God. He shows that God's activity in the believers is what the Trinitarian God does. God the Father, God Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit is involved in how they are equipping the body to encourage one another, to build each other up through the Holy Spirit for Jesus and empowered by God. So each one has been given an expression of this, a manifestation, and it says, like, for the common good. So that whatever grace of gift we or gifts we've been given by the Spirit to serve Jesus and empowered by God, they are to encourage the believers. This was not something where you can say, well, I have this gift, so I'm better than the other people. Paul kind of has to adjust that at some point. There's not a, and you can't also choose your own. They're given by the Holy Spirit. And as we get to later, it gives it freely to whoever he wills. But God is the one who empowers them all. God the Father empowers, the Spirit gives, and they're all to serve Jesus Christ. I wrote, even in the gifts, we see God reveal as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see that there's unity in the diversity of who God is. We even talked about it earlier, that there is one God in three persons. They have an order and they work together. They're not less worth or anything, but they work in unity in the diversity. Paul, I believe, is asking the believers to do the same. As you see who God is as a Trinitarian God, it will be great if you stop fighting against each other and then start acting like this. You've all been given different gifts and abilities, gifts in Christ as you came to him. Use them to glorify God and for the common good, that others would see this God and that you can show it to one another as you serve, as you encourage, as you know that the gifts you have is not for you to make a lot of money or whatever, or to you to get a higher status, but it is actually to encourage the body. Your gift is to show that you were loved by Christ by loving and serving the body of Christ. Now I had it on slides 5 times today, the gift. But this is what I believe this is true. We believe this is true. That if we are in Christ, each person has at least one gift from God that is to encourage the rest of the body. Now that means that there is no one who doesn't have a place. It also means that no one doesn't have anything to contribute with. So God has made his body this way, and by his providence and by his Spirit, he has made everyone have a place. Everyone given an ability to serve with what God has given them. That means as you're a new creation, and you are saved into a new body, you've also been given a manifestation for the common good. So you've been given a place and you've been given ability to serve and encourage the fellowship. I think it's very beautiful because that's not necessarily what happens in other fellowships or in other things. You don't necessarily have a place. Many people can go to church and say, I have no place. Well, this passage says that is not true. The passage says that you have a place and you have a purpose and you have gifts to use for the common good. As you have seen how Christ has saved you and helped you, as you've seen his grace, his mercy, his love, his joy, his righteousness, his justice, you can share that by using your gift to encourage the body. A beautiful place, not just served to sit in the corner, but to given a task, given a service, given by the power of the Holy Spirit, a gift to encourage and for the common good. I wrote here, and it doesn't matter what country you come from. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. All these things doesn't matter. Because God is the one who gives the gifts. So then there's room for the ones God has saved. Again, the spiritual gifts are not for our own sake. They're for the sake of the community. So these gifts should never be used as a platform to promote ourselves. It should be to encourage the body. For the building up of the body into the head, who is Christ. I think I have a slide here. No, I don't. So then Paul will go through a list of different gifts. He's probably listing all things that he already knows that they have. He already knows and thinks that these are things that are functioning or not present in the Corinthians. Some of them, you can say that he might be addressing things he has actually said earlier. So here in the combination, the first, for one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. If you remember back in chapter 1, that was one of the issues in the church. That it wasn't God's wisdom. It was the wisdom of the world. So he says a gift can be to actually know and act out God's wisdom and not the world's wisdom. Another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Again, that's almost the same, not necessarily the same, but it's the it also goes to maybe to what he was saying in the beginning. Well, we have great knowledge, they say, and we have great wisdom. And he says, well, you know, that's actually a gift according to the Spirit. That you would know wisdom, know how to live, not just know to live, and then also know how to speak knowledge according to the Holy Spirit and not the world. So the gifts are to build each other up. So they shouldn't be like, I am more wise than anyone, or I have more knowledge than anyone. No, that should be to help the fellowship not fall prey to the philosophical things of the world, but actually listen to the ones who can distinguish the true wisdom of God and the knowledge from God. They are to be shared with the fellowship and not create division. Paul continues, one has faith. Faith is a gift by the same Spirit. People say, well, don't we all have faith? Yeah. Paul is likely talking about a gift that's exercised with more than, how do you explain this? This could be seen in people who act like most of us wouldn't, because they're just sure God's going to do it. I think the example was like, I really do think this mountain is going to fall into the ocean, or I really do think God is going to do this. I have no doubt that this is what's going to happen. And again, it's another gift that can encourage the believers, because if you sit and pray with someone like that, and if you are encouraged by that person's faith, we can be built up and not be like, instead of being like, I want that guy's gift. No, this is something that can function well. And maybe you have a friend that has this gift. Then you know how it works. You think they are not crazy, but you think that they are like, how can they trust God that much somehow, maybe? Again, it's a manifestation to encourage the body again. Another has the gift of healing or making well by the same Spirit. Another to work miracles. God's power shown in what we call supernatural ways. Now, for God, these sometimes we forget, but for God, these things are not hard at all. And when we talk about miracles, I think sometimes we are, they're only miracles for us, because God's doing, he's able to do everything. And so looking at these things that we call supernatural gifts, well, they're just because we don't see them all the time. But it's not like God can't do it. And remember, all these things are empowered by God, so it is not something to take and use for one's own advantage and whatever it is, but it is to build up. And you can see how these work together in love. Well, you would want to pray for each other. You would want to make well for one another. You would want to see God do extraordinary things in one another's lives. That God is actually alive and working in and through his body. Another one, to speak another prophecy, to speak and reveal from God. It could be future or present. To another, ability, this one is very important. Not that they are all important, and they're all, but especially for that church as well. The ability to distinguish between spirits. He's already addressed a little bit that in the beginning, that this is different than when they were unbelievers and were led astray by other gods. So all the things that has been mentioned of the gifts, there's also someone who can have the gifts to distinguish, well, is this actually God working? Is what this person's saying true, or did they just make it up themselves? So you can see how all the gifts actually work together and check each other and encourage each other. So what are the spirits? Who is commenting on what? Is this from God or is this not from God? It's the testing of the prophecies. It's the testing of the words given. It's the testing of the different things. Even the testing of the people's service. To others, various kinds of tongues, by the Holy Spirit's empowerment to speak different languages. And to others, the interpretation of tongues, by the Holy Spirit being able to interpret languages and explain them. Paul will get back to this one Because this one seems to be misused at some point in the fellowship. Paul, he writes, they're all empowered by the same Spirit. All of this is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in another place, God. And who gives the gifts? We see here, we don't get to pick, but the Holy Spirit gives whatever gift the Holy Spirit he wants to each person. Somebody said, therefore, it is actually sin that you covet somebody else's gift. Because if the Holy Spirit wanted you to have the gift, you would have it. I thought that was an interesting thing because just like coveting somebody else's shoes or car or whatever, this should not be something that we do. We should be more concerned with, well, how has God made me? What gifts, abilities, what kind of love do I actually have for the fellowship that I would use my abilities for the common good and for the upbuilding of the good instead of saying, well, I wanted that instead. So he's encouraging them to not boast about their gifts, not create division about their gifts, but to understand that they're given by a Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts to each person as he wills for the common good. And Paul will go into the illustration that will carry on for our next week also. And he uses the illustration of the body. This might be what is called known to many people, this body illustration, and we'll get more into next week. He says, there's lots of different gifts, just as there's lots of different members of one body. But the thing is that it's all of the gifts have the same purpose and are empowered by the same Spirit and given by the same Spirit. And even though there's many people, or fewer people, there's one body, and so it is with Christ. So he's saying that I just told you there's all these different gifts, but they all have one function, that is to glorify God, and by the Holy Spirit, encourage the body, build up the body. It's for the common good. So just to recap, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They're empowered by God. They are to serve the Lord Jesus. And they are to build up the church. All believers have one or more gifts. And they are to point to Jesus and to serve the fellowship. Everyone has a place. In Christ, everyone is given a gift to function with and to encourage with. Everyone has a purpose in the fellowship. No one has all the gifts because we are a body. Not everyone has all the body parts. Well, we all do, but in the illustration, sorry, right? But no, yeah. No gift is mandatory or required. The list doesn't encompass all the gifts. The gifts are not signs of maturity or spiritual power or status. It is gifts that comes from the Holy Spirit and is for the common good. At times in church history, the gifts of grace have become divisive. Paul will also address this later. The wrong use of the gifts. But the gifts are not there for the gifts itself, but for the body of believers to be built up. Paul addressed this earlier as well. Paul is addressing this issue because he wants there to be unity in the body and not division. So it's ironic that these passages has created so many splits in churches when his main encouragement was to have unity in diversity in the body of Christ. That they were all to be encouraged to use these to glorify God and to build up the church and one another. And by that unity, people could see the love that the believers has, and that Jesus says that they would know who you are by the love they have for one another. That the world would see who Christ is. Now it comes to, but what about you? The core thing here is like, do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord? Because if he's not, you don't have a spiritual gift. You can't, because it's given by the Holy Spirit as a gift. So you got the first question would be, like, who is Jesus? Is he your Lord, God, and Savior? Have you seen who is this? Have you seen the goodness of God that has led you to turn away from your own way to give your life to Jesus and to come and follow him? Have you received the Holy Spirit as a gift? And as you did, have you also received a gift that you can use for the building up of the body? If you are you using the gifts that the Holy Spirit have given to you? Do you use it for the common good of the fellowship that you're a part of? Do you believe that God actually gives gifts to everyone? Also you, if you are in Christ. Then sometimes when I preach a sermon like this, we do this passage, people get very obsessed about what their gifts is. Remember, your gift is not the most important thing. It is what you do with your gift. It is to serve Jesus Christ and to build up the body. You are not your gift. But Paul would say you've been given a gift that you can bless and serve the community. Question would be, where is my gift then? How can I unwrap it? How can I see it? I don't know when you became a believer, and I don't know how it went. But for some, it's very easy. There's a sharp difference in their life, and they get a new ability. And they can see, okay, this highly likely is what my gift is. You can do something new. You have a deeper love for people you've never had. You have mercy and kindness that you've never had. You have faith that you never had before. You have a love for the scriptures you never had before. You want to pray for the sick. You want to pray and help hurting people. When you're praying, you're reminded to encourage other people. You're reminded to call people. You're reminded to encourage them. For some of you, you have experienced this. If you have not, do not despair. And this is also what I say lots of times is, if you haven't found out what your gift is, try start encouraging the body. Try start serving. And see what God does. Where is it that the Holy Spirit has gifted you to encourage and serve? What comes easier to you than to other people? And sometimes that can be difficult because what's easy for you is easy for you. But maybe that might be your gift. Hospitality, hosting. People appreciate when you encourage them. People are thankful when you instruct them. People are encouraged when you serve. Also, you could also ask God and see what gifts the Holy Spirit has given to you. Maybe you all know. Well, then my encouragement would be, well, for the glory of God, use it to encourage the people around you. And thank you to all of you who do encourage the body. The gifts were meant to glorify God and encourage the body, that each person could be built up and strengthened. That is what we would like also here. That you use your gift to the glory of God and for the good of the body. That the people can see that we love one another and that Christ might be magnified and shown in our community. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you, God, that it's amazing to think about us being a rebellious people who went our own way, and then you provide Jesus for us. You show that you love the world by doing that. And Jesus, thank you for your life and your death and your resurrection, and that you're coming back and you're sitting interceding for us, and the plan you had, God, also Holy Spirit, to give us a place to belong, to give us a place where we can serve you and one another, that you give us gifts as you come and reside in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray we will understand this better and better, and get to know you better through it as we serve. I pray you help us in using our gifts and helping each other, encourage one another, strengthen one another. I pray that you get all the glory and the praise, and the people can see that you loved us because we love one another. So I pray you will help us to use our gifts. I pray you would reveal the gifts you have in our fellowship. I pray you would bring the gifts if we need any more. I pray you bring that would encourage the body. Pray, Jesus, as you said, you will build your church. So we ask that you would do that to your honor and glory, and that we can be blessed and encouraged by it. In Jesus' name.